Art of Chanting class. We're discussing the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. And we heard the meaning from the Hare Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta. And this is the meaning of the Ma mantra given by Sri Jiva Goswami. And in Krishna's Leela, Sri Jiva Goswami is Vilas Mandri. And this comes from Gopal Champu. So this is, of course, a very intimate meaning. But it's amazing how such sweetness in his revelation of the meanings of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because we're told by Bhaktivinoda and others, as we chant Hare Krishna, we go through different stages of realization. And ultimately the name will reveal different pastimes to us. And the meaning, I mean, I'm amazed sometimes as I look at, because I'm skipping over some of these meanings because they're quite intimate by some of the acharyas. I don't want to speak them really. But they're written in this book, like Gopal Guru Goswami's meaning. But this book is being translated in many languages, so apparently people don't mind a lot of these things. And the GBC in Russia, they authorized the public translation and distribution of this book. Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, GBC for Russia. So this book is in Russian. And now some GBC have asked on behalf of one Spanish devotee, they're translating into Spanish. And then what's going on in Hindi. And it's already in Bengali. It's printed by the Bengali, by the BBT in Mayapur. What's his name? Gauranga Prem Swami. As soon as the book came out, he translated, first he did Gayatri book in Bengali, then he did Art of Chanting. And it's been out 4 or 5 years. And they've been selling thousands and thousands of copies in Bengali. So Sri Jiva Goswami, he gets this meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He says, the enchanting beauty of Sri Krishna Chandra steals the minds of all. Because the word Hare, or Hari, means thief. So the enchanting beauty of Sri Krishna Chandra steals the minds of all. But Srimati Ratika captivates the mind of Shyam with her alluring matchless cleverness. Therefore she is known as Hara, or Hare in the vocative case. Krishna, by his youthful beauty and the sweet sound of his flute. Well, this is Krishna. Krishna means, by Krishna's youthful beauty and the sweet sound of his flute, Sri Krishna, who is decorated with the most charming qualities, attracts Srimati Radhika. Therefore, he is known as Krishna. So Hare Krishna means Radha attracting Krishna and Krishna attracting Radha. Hare. The exalted devotees say that Sri Krishna kidnapped doe-eyed Radhika and took her to a secluded kunja within the Rasa Mandala. Therefore, Radhika is known as Hara. So Hare, or Hara, means thief. One who steals, or in this case it means one who is stolen. So Hare means Radhika, or that Hare who was stolen by, or kidnapped. Kidnapped means to steal someone. Sri Krishna kidnapped doe-eyed Radhika. So in other words, Jiva Goswami is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then he sees when he chants Hare Krishna, then Hare, he says, oh Hare, oh this is doe-eyed Radhika, and this doe-eyed Radhika is there in this Hare. And now suddenly Krishna's come, and he's kidnapped her, and took her to a kunja, which means a forest bower. When Krishna sports with Radha, this is Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that was Krishna. When Krishna sports with Radhika, the splendid dark blue effulgence that emanates from his limbs makes shiny gold appear like blue sapphires. Therefore he is known as Krishna. So Krishna here. Krishna, of course, means dark. The word Krishna means black or dark. So Krishna is dark blue. And when he meets with Radharani, then her body is very shiny like gold. And generally it's often said, although here he says it looks like blue sapphires. When Krishna sports with Radhika. So generally they say because we know when you combine blue and yellow, you get green. Blue and yellow make green. So green means emerald. So oftentimes when Krishna's in the forest or Radharani's in the forest, say that, for example, Radharani's waiting for Krishna. So while she's in the forest, and from her body a very beautiful golden effulgence is emanating, a light, a natural light, a natural glow. And it's very extraordinary and very brilliant. Like we have this term, Ujjvala Nilamani. Ujjvala Nilamani is a famous book by Rupa Goswami. It's a sequel to Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the rasas of Braj, Sakiras, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and also some shantas there, Dasya. But especially it emphasizes the higher rasas. And then it leaves with Madhurya Ras with some development, and then it picks up an Ujjvala Nilamani, which is only Madhurya Ras, Krishna's love of the gopis. So Nilamani means blue gem, blue sapphire, fire, or as you say, sapphire. Blue sapphire. And Ujjvala means very brilliant, extremely brilliant, like an Udipta, Ujjvala. So generally they say that Radharani's effulgence is very brilliant, Ujjvala, Sudipta, and it's golden. So then she's waiting at Radhakund and Lita Nanda Kunj for Krishna to come in the afternoon to meet her and the banks of Radhakund. And then Krishna's approaching from the north, from Nandagaon or from some other place where he's mixing with the cows and the boys. And then Krishna's effulgence is blue, like blue sapphire, Ganesham. And then what happens in his whole forest is lit up by Radharani's golden effulgence. Although the forest is so dark, usually enter a dark forest. When you enter a deep forest where so many trees are there, you get inside, you can't see the sunlight. It's very dark. A very thick forest, you maybe never had any experience. Because in India it's hard to find trees. You can't find trees, you can find people. People, so many. But in America and Canada, there's many more trees than there are people. There's only 250 million people in America. There's about 10 billion trees. So many trees. I had the experience, even when I grew up, we had 18 acres of property, our estate, or whatever you want to call it. And one part was a forest, and we'd go inside there and be very cool and very dark in the summertime. And all the trees go up and make a canopy. It's just like you go sitting under umbrellas. Like we have that little shamai, or whatever they call it, that canopy on the beach, and there's a little shade there, a little shade. You can imagine a huge umbrella, 50 feet high. So we'd go in there, it was like dark practically. So now it's dark in the forest, but then Radharani's effulgence is so great, it lights up the whole forest, and Krishna can see all Radharani's there. But when Radharani's in her kunj, and she sees all around her this light, it's golden. And suddenly as Krishna comes closer and closer to the Nikunj, that golden light starts taking on a greenish hue. Because Krishna's emanating this blue effulgence. Like the people that study metaphysics, they say the human body emanates an aura. A-U-R-A. Aura means jyoti, or light. And it goes for like 8 or 9 feet. It's almost like wings. They call aura wings. They go out from a person's body depending on how, whether he's healthy or sick. And there are different color auras. Some people have yellowish aura, or reddish aura, or purple, or violet. They say that the higher a person's consciousness is, metaphysics people equate high consciousness with the color purple, ultraviolet or purple. Or we can say sham rang. Krishna's not purple, he's blue. So then this effulgence precedes Krishna, this bluish effulgence that precedes him. And so he's coming with his blue effulgence, and Radharani's sitting there, all of a sudden, everything's becoming a little green. The first thing she notices that Krishna's arriving. She notices a change in color, that her effulgence is coming from gold, it's going to emerald color, green. And then next thing, she smells Krishna's body. So first there's a jyoti, the prabhava of a person. That's from a distance. The person's prabhava or their jyoti, and then you get closer, then maybe you perceive their fragrance because they haven't spoken anything. And maybe then you smell their fragrance at a great distance or their perfume, and then they get closer, you can see their form. And then you get closer, you can hear their voice. You get closer, you can touch them. So in this way, Radha and Krishna meet. So Krishna kidnapped. So that's Krishna when he sports his Radhika. The splendid dark blue effulgence emanates from his limbs, makes the shiny gold appear like blue sapphires. Krishna, to fulfill the desire of Radhika, Sri Hari manifested Shyamakund in the forest near Govardhan, and then pulled all the holy places there. The learned ones who know this secret call him Krishna. So this is very interesting. Jiva Goswami, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this is the first Krishna. He's saying that he was chanting, Jiva Goswami is chanting Krishna, and he's thinking, oh, Krishna. What is this word Krishna? Krishna means Karshan, Karshati. Karshan means gravity, means magnetic force, attraction, to pull, to draw, to attract, to pull near one, to draw, drawing power, pulling power, attractive power, magnetic power. This word in Sanskrit, Krish, means that, Sankarshan. So Hare Krishna. But Krishna is more than that. Krishna is God. Krishna is a personality. Krishna is transcendence. Krishna is Rasaraj, the supreme transcendence. So, what's coming in this word? Oh, I'm seeing Shyamakund. So he's chanting the name Krishna, because another name for Shyamakund is Krishnakund. Many people call it Krishnakund and Shyamakund. And some people call it Ristakund, because Krishna created that Krishnakund by putting his lotus footprint in the footprint of Arista. And some people call it Kankankund. Sometimes they call Shyamakund Kankankund. And they call sometimes they call Radhakund Kankankund. Sometimes they call Shyamakund, they call it Bajranabkund, because he, the great grandson of Krishna, Bajranab, he was the prime minister or the ruler of Mathura, and he supervised the first excavation of that place under the order of Shandilya Rishi and Bhagwari Rishi, some rishis that were staying there at that time. They ordered him that he should uncover and excavate the places of Krishna's Leela, because he's a family member. He was a Yadav. He was a member of Krishna's dynasty. He said, listen, your great-great-grandfather was quite an extraordinary person. Your great-great-grandfather was God. So to preserve the memory of your ancestor, he was pretty big ancestor. So rather than just putting a picture, hanging it on the 10 feet up the wall, picture of your grandfather and your grandmother. And go. the pictures on the wall, the grandmothers and grandfathers, are always really stern and really nervous. Like they don't know what a camera is. You know. I've gone in all these Indian buildings and they have the picture of the grandfather, people's houses. So always about 20 feet up on the wall. He said, who is that? Oh, that's Gokul Chandra, that's my father. So, oh, that's, but nowadays everybody's quite camera
conscious.
Not camera comfortable, I would say. Camera comfortable. They, you know, everyone hams it up and really they're right on it. Everyone's an amateur movie star. Are just waiting to be filmed, especially now with cell phones. Every single person has a camera. Every kid, 5-year-old kid, hey, you know, let me take a picture of you on your tricycle. Okay. So 3-year-old kids have pictures of each other, you know, when they're on their tricycles. Bicycle and tricycle, you know, 3 wheels and 2 wheels. So, this is, what a beautiful realization Jiva Goswami is sharing with us. He chants Krishna and he thinks of Krishna Kund. And then he's thinking Krishna Kund, okay, Krishna means Krishna Kund, Shyamakund. But what happens there? Well, Krishna goes there and he plays his flute and he calls Radharani there. So Krishna means Krishna Kund, but Krishna means pulling. So Krishna means Krishna Kund, and Krishna means Krishna pulling Radha to Krishna Kund. Krishna means Krishna pulling Radha to Krishna Kund. So that's what he's saying. To fulfill the desire of Radhika, Hari manifested Shyamakund. Everyone knows that. And then he pulled all the holy places there. The learned ones know this secret and call him Krishna. So of course he pulled all the holy... Krishna means to pull. The word, very word Krishna means to pull. So he pulled all the holy places there, and that's how he made the Kund. Because Radharani told him to bathe in all the holy places to atone for his gohati of killing Aristasura, who was a bull. A demon posed as a bull. Now the second Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Although Krishna bewilders the world with his pastimes and the groves besides the Yamuna, Sri Hari is totally enthralled by the unparalleled love of Sri Radhika. For this reason, intellectuals call him Krishna. So Krishna attracts and bewilders the whole world with his Nikunja Leela besides the Yamuna. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. And they say, Yamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. This Kunja Bihari, Rasa Bihari. Kunja Bihari is enjoying. Bihari means enjoyer. He's enjoying in the Kunjas. Where? Jamuna Tata. Jamuna Tata means the Jamuna Pulina. Pulina means the bank. Tata means the bank, the edge, the border. The banks of the Yamuna. Yamuna Tire, Kunja Bihari. Jamuna Tire, Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava. And Prabhupada gives a purport to this song, Jai Radha Madhava, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because his Ishtadeva was Gorgadadhar and Radha Madhav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he worshipped Gorgadadhar, and in his worship of Gorgadadhar, Gadadhar revealed himself as Radharani, and Gaur revealed himself as Madhav. Jai Radha Madhav. So he worshipped Radha Madhav and Gorgadadhar. So Prabhupada's purport to this Radha Madhav, he said, this is Krishna's only business. Krishna's only business is enjoying Radha Madhav. Krishna and Radharani are enjoying in the bushes. Bushes. B-O-O. Bushes. In the bushes of Vrindavan. This is the only business of Krishna. Jai Radha Madhav Kunja Bihari. So he's enthralled by the unparalleled love of Radhika. So he bewilders the world with his pastimes on the banks of the Yamuna, that's his Krishna. But this Sri Hari or Krishna, he is totally enthralled and he is totally attracted and drawn to the unparalleled love of Sri Radhika. Then Hare, Hare. When Krishna killed the Aristasura demon, Sri Radha loudly chanted, Hari, Hari! Consequently, she is known as Hara, which is Hari, Hare in the vocative. So when we're saying Hare, Hare, then Jiva Goswami is seeing Radharani. He's somehow fixed in this Radhakund Leela, Jiva Goswami. So when he's saying Hare, he's saying, well, this is Radharani. And this Hare refers to Hari. Hare is feminine, but in this case that feminine personality, Srimati Radhika, Hare, which means Hara, that Radharani, Hara, she is calling out in fear of the Aristasura demon who attacked Krishna. And so she's calling out, Hare, Hare, Hari, Hari. Hari means Krishna. So that's very interesting. So in this word we have Krishna, Aristasura, the killer of Aristasura. Then we have Radharani. Then Hare. Due to excessive love, Sri Radhika sometimes loudly sings the pastimes of Krishna. Another time she sings in soft, indistinct tones. Learned Rasikas call her Hara. So this is just, he's chanting, Jiva Goswami is chanting Hare, and he thinks, oh, this means Radharani. And she's singing about Krishna Leela in great love. Sometimes loudly, and sometimes softly. In indistinct tones. Then, that's Hare Hare. Then we have Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Hare. When intense ecstasies overwhelm Krishna, he sometimes drops his flute in the forest of Vrindavan. At such times, Radhika snatches the flute, and therefore she is called Hara. Because the word Hari in Sanskrit means thief. Hari means thief, it also means lion. It means, you know, as always, Sanskrit words have many meanings. So the primary meanings of Hari are to steal, to thieve, and lion. And this is Prabhupada had a very cute way of saying different English words. And of course, the disciple always feels that, for example, the disciple feels that my guru is perfect. And someone says, why is he wearing glasses? If your guru is perfect, that means his eyesight should be 20/20 eyesight. Perfect eyesight. Perfect number, perfect vision. No, you don't understand. My guru is wearing eyeglasses. His eyes are perfect, but just to show compassion for those people that wear glasses. So when they see my guru, they say, oh, he has glasses and he's like me. So they'll feel, so he's only wearing glasses. He doesn't need glasses. And then if my guru, if he mispronounces a word, then they should change the dictionary. Because the dictionary is wrong. My guru is right, my guru is wrong, my guru is always right. This is the conclusion. So in Prabhupada he would say, the Supreme Lord is infinite, and the Jiva is infinite simal. Maybe you don't know what that is. But there's a word called infinite, which means unlimited, ananta. And there's a word that means very small, which is infinitesimal. Infinitesimal. And Prabhupada would say, instead of saying infinitesimal, he would say infinitesimal. And we would laugh and, oh, Prabhupada, this is beautiful. This. And then we would speak it. We would give class. And say, actually, Krishna is telling that God is Vibhu, infinite. And the Jiva is Anu. God is Vibhu Chaitanya, the Supreme Unlimited. Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanas Chaitanam, Chaitananam. He is Vibhu Chaitanya. He is unlimited, great living force. And we are Anu Chaitanya, Anu Chit. Very small, minute, atomic living force, consciousness, Anu Chaitanya. So we say, yes, in a similar way, God is infinite, and the Jiva is infinite simul. And we made a list once, Nagaraj and I, we had about 200 words like this at one time. And he said, the purpose of, in human life, we must purify our existence. We say purify. So many words, I can't remember. The funniest thing was, I've told this so many times, but Hayagriva, he had a PhD, he's no more with us, my godbrother Hayagriva. He had a PhD in English literature, and he's a professor at Ohio State University. And he joined in Pittsburgh, and then he joined Kirtananda, was one of the leaders or founders of New Vrindavan community. And he was in the first initiation. He was one of the Mutt Street boys. The Mutt Street boys in Second Avenue that joined Prabhupada. I think it was Achyutananda and Kirtananda and Hayagriva. They were all together. They lived on a street called Mott Street, M-O-T-T, which is right around from where Prabhupada was. East Side, East Village. So he joined, he knew typing, he was a good typist, and he also knew editing. So he said, you edit my books. So Prabhupada was dictating Bhagavatam, and then he was typing out the manuscript. So Prabhupada was explaining, and said when, in the first canto, he said, when Shukadeva Goswami was narrating the Bhagavatam to Parikshit, he was sitting on the banks of the Ganga at Shukratala, under some banyan trees speaking, and so many sages were there. And there, he was speaking Bhagavatam, and there were so many birds in the tree were singing while he was speaking. Singing sweetly. Many birds were sitting in the tree singing sweetly. Or singing very musically or something like this. So then, Prabhupada's accent, when he typed it out, when Hayagriva typed out, he said, Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Bhagavatam. While he was speaking, there were many bards, he typed out, B-A-R-D-S, bard. Bards were in the tree. And bard means minstrel. Minstrel means poet. In the Middle Ages, they had these guys that went around with lutes and little tiny little guitars, and they would sing the glories of the kings and things. They were called bards. They're like kavi. Kavi means poet. They were a poet or bard. Bard means someone who play music and sing. It's called a bard, a minstrel. He was a minstrel or a bard. That's an old English word, bard. And so that's quite known in English, what that is. So he writes down, he says, and Prabhupada read the manuscript, that what is this? There are many bards sitting in a tree singing musically. Because Hayagriva, you know, he came from the 70s when a lot of hippies and people get intoxicated and they climb up in the tree and they play their guitar and play their harmonica, play their flutes and sit in the tree, maybe fall out of the branch or whatever. They sit in the trees and play music. It was quite common. And he thought, he said, what is this, bards? And he said, this, you said on the tape, he said, because the Prabhupada's Bengali accent, there are many bards. Many Sukadeva Goswami is speaking Bhagavatam, many bards in the trees, sitting on the tree. Bards. And Prabhupada said, well, you're on the tape. I agree with you, said, it sounded, you said bards. He's not, it's bards. I said, bards, you know bards. And I agree with you, said bards. And then Prabhupada went, you know bards. He said, bards. It probably went like this. And then when Hayagriva said, oh, birds! So then, needless to say, Hayagriva corrected the manuscript from B-A-R-D-S to B-I-R-D-S. So just change one A to one I. Right? This is A, and this is I, or something like that, right? I. So bards became birds. So in this way, Prabhupada's dialect and his way of pronouncing were very wonderful and sweet and very endearing. So in this particular hare, he's saying Krishna's being overwhelmed by the beauty of Radharani, and he drops his flute and Radharani snatches it. So in this case, it's called Bamshi Chodi. Radharani stealing his flute, so thief is hare. So hare means Radharani who steals Krishna's flute when he's a little inattentive due to being overwhelmed in transcendental love. So that's hare, and then that's the hare of Rama. Ram. Sri Krishna is known as Ram because he enjoys Radhika in the kunjas of Govardhan, because Ram means Raman. Or Raman means satisfaction, it means pleasure, and in its fullest, deepest meaning, it means conjugal pleasure, conjugal love. Then that's Hari Ram, then Hari. The most merciful Sri Radha destroys, Hati, the miseries of devotees, and therefore bestows inner joy, Rati. Therefore she is known as Hara. This is a very, really, really interesting meaning that Jiva Goswami has given, because of course Jiva Goswami was expert in Sanskrit, and really quite a learned personality. He was, after the six Goswamis, when he was very young, he was one of the last remaining Goswamis, and he was considered to be the Acharya for the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava world after Rupa and Sanatana left this world. He was so learned and so erudite in Sanskrit and philosophy and poetry and music and everything. So he's saying the word Hare means Ha and Re. So there's a Sanskrit word that means Hati. Hati Hanyame, Nahanyame Hanyamane, Hanyame Hanyamane Shirire. It says the soul can never be killed. It never sees itself. Hanya, the word Hanya, or Hati means to kill, Hati. So this Ha part of Hare, he's saying is Hare Ram, then Hare Ha means Hati. Then Radharani, because she's so merciful, she destroys the miseries of devotees. So Hare means Ha, Hati. And after she destroys the miseries of devotees, and we heard about the threefold miseries this morning from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What are the threefold miseries according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur? No, that's the nectar instruction. That's the one we know. But if we were in this class this morning, we heard that he was describing three different threefold miseries.
Forget eternal identity.
One is forget, the first misery, the first material misery is to forget our eternal spiritual identity. The second is to turn our face away from God in forgetfulness. Yes?
Third is to consider ourselves the body.
And third is to be attached to the material body and think that this material body is me. I am Sonia. I am Cindy. Sonia? I am Cindy. I am mother. I am wife. I am fat. I am thin. I am beautiful. I am ugly. I am poor, I am rich. This is all maya. This is all duality. Dvandva. Now this is a misery. These are three miseries. To turn away from Krishna, to identify with this material body. And what was the third one?
It's not talking about body.
Identity. Oh, what's the first one?
Identity.
First one.
Aversion from God.
Second one is aversion from God.
What's the first one?
Forget our eternal identity.
Forget our eternal spiritual identity. Then turn away from God. And the third one?
I'm body.
Yeah. The first thing we just were in forgetfulness. And then when we turn away from God, then we look for some type of identity, then we just identify with our body. Well, these are so Radharani removes these miseries. And then she daily bestows inner joy, rati. Rati, of course, is another word for bhav. Rati means bhav. So ha re, the re part of ha re, ha means hati, kill the miseries, take away the miseries. And the re means rati. Very interesting. Re means rati. The ra of re. Ra, hara. Because hare is simply the vocative or the calling form. Vocative means the calling form. Like you say, her name is Lalita Sakhi. But if you're going to call her, you say, Lalite, Lalite. Her name is Radha. But when you call her, you say, Radhe, Radhe. This is Sanskrit. This is proper grammar. So it's like you say, hum and muchko and all these different things you say, right? I means hum.
May.
But then what does muchko mean?
My.
Muchko
is also for me.
Yeah, so there's may and muchko and this, that. So these are all different forms. It's called tenses, verb tenses. The same thing is there. So hara, which means ha, hati, and ra, rati, becomes hare. So this is a very interesting meaning. Hare Ram, then Hare Ram. Ram, the minds of the devotees who worship Krishna always float in the topmost ocean of bliss. Thus, that beautiful dark blue form of Krishna is called Ram. So, of course, as I said, Ram means happiness or satisfaction. Ramante, what do they say? Ramante yogino anante. But the yogis are always... Ramante yogino anante. Yogis are always... relishing eternal satisfaction. So that's Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Now, Ram Ram. Sri Radha pleases Sri Hari in the flower cottages with her unprecedented love. Because Krishna gives unlimited pleasure to Radha during their confidential pastimes, he is known as Ram. So as I mentioned, Ram means to give satisfaction, to give pleasure, like we say, Atmaram. He's an Atmaram Muni. Atmaram Aschamunio. It means that by his realization of God and his inner development of spiritual purity, he experiences a happiness within himself. Atma Ram. Ram means inner satisfaction, pleasure, joy, fulfillment. His body, mind, very soul, it's all very, he's feeling very happy. He doesn't need anything outside. Doesn't need anyone from outside to make him happy. He doesn't need any object from outside to make him happy. He's happy just to sit and be in remembrance of his Lord, his Ishta. That gives him his satisfaction. Just his memory, his mind. His mind produces pleasure. He doesn't need stimulation from outside. It's called Atmaram. So Krishna, he gives that pleasure to Radharani, so he's known as Ram. The last Ram, Ram Ram, seeing the Brijvasis crying loudly in the fear of the forest fire, Sri Krishna effortlessly swallowed it. For this reason, Krishna is known as Ram, because he pleased the Brijvasis by rescuing them, and because he always arranges for his devotees to enjoy with him. So this is another meaning of Ram. This last Ram in the Mahamantra indicates that the Brijvasis are there. There's a Leela there. There's two Leelas called Davanala Leela. Davanala. Davanala means forest fire. There's two different forest fires, one in Munjitavi. Munjitavi is in Bandiravan. There's a grove of reeds on the other side of the Yamuna. Krishna swallowed that forest fire when the cows were trapped there. And the other forest fire, Davanala, there's a Davanala Kund, which is near Akandanandan's ashram, near Ramanreti. It's not really Ramanreti, but it's nearby. It's actually very not far from what's that big guest house? Let's go. Huh? That old guest house, cheap one, everybody says. Fogel Ashram. It's down there. If you could come out of Fogel Ashram and cross the main road going, and go straight on another road, that goes to Kandananda's Ashram, and you turn left, and it's over by the railroad tracks. The Vrindavan Mathura railroad. Yeah, little tracks. There's a place called Davanala Kund. And after Krishna vanquished or sent away the Kaliya demon, then they were all resting over there because they were very tired. And especially, it was too late to go back. So they stayed there, and then the gopis, everyone stayed there. Then another forest fire sprouted up over there. And they thought it was some demon friend of Kaliya or Kamsa or something. And Krishna swallowed that forest fire. So in this particular Ram, the Brijvasis were crying in fear of that forest fire. And Krishna pleased all of the Brijvasis. So Rama means to please or give satisfaction. So also, as he pleased the Brijvasis, he also arranges for his devotees to enjoy with him. So this is Krishna's kindness, that he is Ram. He gives pleasure not only to Brijvasis, but he arranges for devotees to enjoy with him. Like on Santates, Prabhupada says, Krishna is so kind, he's so merciful. If you chant this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you'll become purified. And when you become completely pure, you'll become qualified to dance with Krishna, to eat with Krishna, to kiss Krishna. He says like this in early lecture. To dance with Krishna, to eat with Krishna, to kiss Krishna. You can dance with Krishna, rasa dance. You can eat with Krishna, and you can kiss Krishna. Krishna wants to give us this arranging for the devotees' enjoyment. So this means Ram. Then Hare Hare. Sri Krishna went to Mathura to kill Kans and other miscreants. By Radha's desire to enjoy intimate pastimes with Krishna, she brought Krishna back to Vrindavan. Thus Radhika is known as Hara. So of course Krishna, and he came back to Vrindavan after he killed Dantavakra. When he was in Dwarka, he came up to the border of Mathura and he killed one demon named Dantavakra. Dantavakra. And that village is still there on the border of Mathura and Vrindavan. It's called Datiha. Because things, they evolve over time. So it used to be probably called Dantavakragaon. Now it's called Datiha. Ha means to kill. So Ha means, Datiha means the place where Krishna killed. Dati means Danti, means Dantavakra. There's another village where Brahma came and he spoke to Krishna, offered some prayers to Krishna. And the very, very old name of that village was Chaturmukhgaon. Chaturmukhgaon. Brahma has four mouths, so he's known as Chaturmukh. But now the village is called Chomuhan. Chomuhan. M-U-H-A-N, Muhan. Cho, C-H-O-U, Chomuhan. So that Cho means four and Muhan means mouth. Chomuhan. So the same village. It's called Datiha. So after killing that demon, then he said, oh, I'm so close to Braj, and I did promise to go back. Of course, that was 100 years ago. But anyway, it's not too late. Better late than never. So I guess this is where the phrase started. Krishna started this phrase, better late than never, because he left when he was 11 years old, or maybe it was actually 10 years and 8 months or so. He left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, and he stayed there for 17 years. After 17 years, he went to Dwarka and he stayed there for another 90. So it was about 100 years later that he came back. So he did. He promised to come back. And there's some curse also. I don't remember where. Some Purana tells some curse that he was cursed to be away for 100 years or something like that. At any rate, he did come back. So it's telling here that Hare is that Radharani, by her pure desire to enjoy intimate pastimes of Krishna, she brought Krishna back to Vrindavan. That is Hare. Then last Hare, when Sri Krishna returned to Vrindavan, he removed all the sufferings of the Brijvasis. Therefore, he's known as Hari, because he captivated Radhika's mind by his wonderful pastimes. So these are the meanings of the Hare Krishna mantra that will manifest at a very high level of bhav and prema, mostly prema. Jiva Goswami is a premika bhakta. Nitya Parisha, an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Radha and Krishna, he has two sarups, two siddhidehas, one male form and one female form. And his female form is Bilas Mandari, who is a Sakhi, Pran Sakhi of Radharani. And in his male form, he's a Brahmin, Kishore Brahmin. Navadvip Leela, associating with Lord Chaitanya and assisting him in his Sankirtan Vilas. It's very nice. Meaning, it gives us some idea, let's say the full gamut, the full range of possible meanings of the holy name. Because we say in the holy name of Krishna is the name. The name is Krishna. Binatva namanamano. The name is Krishna. Krishna is there. Radha is there. Radha and Krishna are there. And they're not only, they're not there in one form, they're there in unlimited. Ananta namam, ananta rupam. Because this is the topmost name of God, Krishna. And the topmost name of Radharani is Hare or Radha. So the topmost form of Shakti and Shaktiman, Purusha and Prakriti, is there in the Maha Mantra. So therefore, the topmost qualities are there. The complete qualities of Godhead are there. And all the different forms are also there. So there's all the different forms and qualities and all different pastimes. What we see mostly, we see Swapna Vilas. When we chant Hare Krishna, we see Swapna Vilas. Swapna means sleep. Vilas means pastimes. We see the pastimes of sleep. Because Radha and Krishna also have sleeping pastimes in a place called Nidiban. Nidiban, and in other places, but in the evening time after Ras dance, they go to Nidiban. Nidiban, they sleep there. And they have Swapna Vilas. So we also, we chant Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna in the Maha Mantra. And when we chant, we also sleep. So we have our Swapna Vilas, our sleep pastimes. And we see those pastimes, but that's about the only pastimes we see. And it's very hard to remember those pastimes because we're sleeping. And our minds are shut, and our eyes are shut, but most deplorably, our hearts are shut. But someday we may be open and enlightened and see all these wonderful, intimate and sweet meanings of the holy name will automatically appear in our mind and heart when we try to chant. Well, actually, I was giving one class, I said in the level of sadhana, we chant the mantra, but the level of bhav, the mantra chants us. So the level of sadhana, we chant the mantra. From the level of bhav, the mantra chants us. Because it says that when you come to bhav, now we are trying to make our tongue move and say Hare Krishna. But when you come to the level of bhav and prem, you can't stop your tongue from chanting Hare Krishna. The tongue will always be moving. Kirtaniya Sadhari. That's why that pastime is there. And this very place we're sitting in, this place, is, this lila, proves the tattva. Tattva vichara, lila vichara. Consideration of lila, or consideration of tattva, tattva vichara, truth, reality. Existential reality, or siddhanta, means tattva. Then what's a pastime, or what's an example? An example or a pastime illustrating it. It's called lila vichara. So tattva supports lila. Lila is a realization of tattva. And lila makes tattva tasty. Lila gives taste to tattva. Pastimes give taste to truth. So, the pastime is right here in Jagannath Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, and once he was going out of the Gambhir, and he was out in a field, and he was passing urine. He says it all like this. And while he was passing urine, he was holding his tongue. And because his tongue kept moving. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And a little boy was there. A little boy's name was Gopal. And Gopal came up and said, "Oh, Mahaprabhu, oh, Sannyasi Thakur, oh, Maharaj, what are you doing? What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, little boy, I am passing urine. This is contaminated. So you shouldn't bring spiritual things in the toilet, in the latrine. You shouldn't bring sacred books or photos of deities or anything. This is a dirty place. So I'm passing urine, so I don't want to chant the holy name. But I can't stop my tongue. It keeps going, going, going. So I'm trying to hold my tongue. Stop, stop, tongue, stop chanting. I'm trying to hold my tongue and stop my tongue from chanting so that I can pass urine and not, you know, contaminate this mantra." And little boy said, "Well, I don't know very much, but, I mean, we can die any time. Some people die when they're passing stool. Some people die any time. We never know when we're going to die. So as far as I can understand, it seems that we should always chant Hare Krishna. We should always be chanting, because you never know when the last moment will come." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "You are very intelligent, little boy. You're only a small boy, but you're very intelligent. So I think your name is, what is your name? Gopal. I think you should be called Gopal Guru. Because you're like Guru. You're speaking like Guru. You're giving me good instruction. Guru gives good instruction. Right? So you're giving me good instruction. So then he grew up and he became known as Gopal Guru Goswami. Of course, his meaning of the holy name is also in here. Very rustic in the meaning. And he became a disciple of Rakreshwar Pandit. Rakreshwar Pandit is a direct disciple of Lord Chaitanya, and he's a Sakhi known as Tunga Vidya Sakhi and Krishna Leela, Sakhi Sarup. And so Rakreshwar Pandit initiated Gopal Guru Goswami, and Gopal Guru Goswami initiated Dhyan Chandra. Dhyan Chandra is a very famous personality mentioned in Jiva Dharma. So this is the proof that we should always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. That happened right here. And then Lord Chaitanya, so that's what I'm saying, the level above, the mantra chants you. You can't stop. The tongue is always Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. So now we're trying to chant the mantra. And it's not easy. Great force. But then the mantra chants us. So tomorrow we can discuss, unless there's some questions, we can discuss the meaning of the Maha Mantra by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now this is maybe a little more, now we're coming down a little lower altitude. We're coming down to this meaning we'll hear tomorrow will give us something to hold on to. The meaning we heard today is something to aspire for and pray for, and Ashabanda, hope against hope, that someday our name, the name we're chanting will be so pure that all these divine revelations and sweet pastimes will descend into the kingdom of our heart and manifest there by the strength of our chanting and by the mercy of Sri Namprabhu, who is pleased with our behavior and the quality of our mentality and the purity of our heart. Purity is the force which attracts the Lord. Great, great purity, great attraction. Questions?
Like this similar tongue keeps on chanting, like about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even it goes same thing for the mind. The mind also doesn't stop chanting. It just goes on, just goes on.
Naturally.
So it's the same
as in the mind. But I have to be careful there, because sometimes life members say, oh, I'm always chanting Hare Krishna in my mind. He said, his question was, well, if you're at the level above and your tongue is always moving, your tongue is always chanting, does that mean your mind is always chanting? And of course, obviously it is. Always chanting means always remember Krishna. Nam Rup Gun Lila. Shravanam Kirtan Vishnusmaranam. First there's hearing, then hearing becomes chanting, then chanting becomes remembering. So they all go together. Hearing, chanting, remembering. Simultaneously at the same time. But I say you have to be careful, because some Indian life members, they say, oh, you should chant on mala, you should get initiated. No, no, I'm always chanting. I'm always chanting in my mind. My mind is always chanting. And of course that's a lie, and they're only bluffing. And so you say, yes, yes, you're always chanting in your mind. You are very advanced. I agree, Mr. Gupta. You're a very, very advanced life member, congregational member. You're always chanting in your mind. And you have so much power of mind and so much power of manasik puja, manasik japa. So now, because you're on such a high level and you're always chanting in your mind, I've just told your wife that from now on, she's going to cook all the meals for you in her mind. And she's going to offer the meals to you in your mind. So you see how much benefit you get. And you see how much benefit that comes into your life. You eat this manasik breakfast, manasik lunch, and manasik dinner. And then you do like that for 1 or 2 weeks, and you come back and see how healthy and strong you are. Because you've been chanting this manasik Hare Krishna in your mind, according to you, and I see you are a total weakling in spiritual life. You have no realization, no purity, no proper action, no proper thoughts, no proper understanding. So all your so-called chanting in your mind is a bluff. It's false. It's galta. Galta? No, galt. Galak. Galakbat? How do you say false talk?
Galatbat.
Galatbat.
Jutabat.
It's all Jutabat. Galatbat.
Like you just spoke about how Prabhupada used to use these words for English words.
Yeah.
The same way, Maharaj, you're feeling like these Hindi words, man, they sound so beautiful from
But anyway, so this is their thing. And then you can call, I always call their bluff like this when they say, so yes, yes, you're always chanting your mind. That's very good. You're very advanced. I can see you're way beyond me. I can't catch you. But see, I'm on a very low level, so I have to chant out loudly. And see, I also have to eat like this and take food. But since you're on such a high level, there's no reason for your wife to cook anymore, because simply by meditating on her offerings that she offers in her mind, you can get full benefit. Like you're getting so much benefit by your manasik japa meditating. So why you eat anymore? We save a lot of money now. I said, no, wait, I have to eat. Then now, so you have to chant with it on your fingers, now open your mouth and chant. Let's hear something. You want to see something tangible in food? We want to hear something tangible in your chanting. Otherwise, you're bluffing. They're all just bluffing. I met hundreds of Indians like this. Well, Swamiji, I'm chanting in my mind. Swamiji, I'm always chanting, you know. All the time, Krishna's in my mind. Why I have to use these bees? Hare Krishna, yes. You people jump around, up and down. Hare Krishna is in my mind, you know. I'm always chanting Hare Krishna in my mind. You don't know, day and night, always Krishna. I said, Baba, the only thing day and night is in your mind is money. You know, money, you're counting money, rounds and rounds of money. Lakhs, you're chanting lakhs and lakhs of money. And instead of chanting lakhs and lakhs of Naam, now you're bluffing. So this is, you should be ashamed of yourself. You come before a sadhu and you're cheating and lying, you're lying. I know you're lying, you're not chanting. And I cut them, and they go, ooh, you know. So, don't be fooled by these wranglers.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. One more very wonderful thing you said once in your lecture, ma'am, like suddenly you haven't chanted since a long time, and suddenly then you remember and you tell the mama, where have you been? I really missed you, like you say this, Hare Krishna, and before sleeping also you can remember this.
Yeah, oh yeah, I was speaking about during a day. During a day. I mean, so many, we get, especially, you know, grihasthas or business people or whatever, they have a lot of other engagements besides pure spiritual activities. We say Sarup Siddhi, it's called Sarup Siddhi Bhakti. Sarup Siddha Bhakti, which is just absorbed in hearing and chanting directly about Krishna, Nam Rupa and Leela. It's called Sarup Siddha Bhakti. There's a Rupa Siddha Bhakti and a Sangha Siddha Bhakti. There's these different types. So, we pass hours and hours, and we're in our shop, and we're doing business, or cooking this, that, and many, many hours go by, and then sometimes we just pause and wait, and we stop, and we say, wait a minute, Krishna, I finished my rounds at 6 o'clock this morning, now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 to 12 is 6 hours, and 12 to 3 is 3 hours, that's the last 9 hours, I haven't thought of you once. I haven't chanted your name once. Oh, Krishna, what am I doing? What is wrong with me? Oh, Krishna, you're my friend. You're so kind to me. Oh, I forgot you for so long, a whole 9 hours of my life. That's terrible. Oh, Krishna, do you remember me? Don't forget me. Krishna, I want to remember you. Hare Krishna, like this. I was speaking, I think, like this.
This one.
So we should check ourselves and reprimand ourselves. Because actually we remember Krishna very little through the day. Hours go by and then we... Or before we take rest, Oh Krishna, now I'm taking rest. Maybe I don't wake up. There's no guarantee. One little mosquito bites you, and you get brain malaria, and you die. One little tiny mosquito. He bites you, it gives you brain, you get brain malaria, you die. You don't wake up. You can't wake up and say, wait a minute, I have insurance with Bajaj Insurance Company. I have ambulance service. Call the ambulance from Bombay to come to Puri, pick me up. I have ambulance service. 24-hour ambulance service. Call them. They come to Bombay, don't they? I mean, they come to Puri from Bombay, right? And take me there immediately. Where? There's no hospital. There's no hospital in Puri. Oh, there's no hospital. So trust no future, however bright. Each moment may be our last. Oh, I'm young, I'm only 30, I have a big future. Really? Well, your friend died yesterday in a motorcycle accident. He's 29. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Hare Krishna. So it's like this. And there's two things we should always forget and two things we should always remember.
All the good we have done, we should forget.
We should always forget the good things we've done for somebody else.
Yes,
we might say, oh, I lent him money, I helped him so many times. Now he's treating me so bad and speaking so badly about me. What is this? What kind of friend? What, I helped him so... Forget about it.
Yes.
Forget. You ever did anything good for somebody? Fine. The register is there. The record is there. If you give $1 to somebody, in your next life you'll get $4 back. This is the way charity works. Give $1 to a bum on the street, next life you'll get $4 for that $1. Mm-hmm. It's stolen shots. 400% interest.
Yes,
good. Not bad. And then, that's one thing you should forget about it. You did the good will come. But if he treats you bad and this and that, forget about it. What's the other thing you forget? And you should forget anything bad that someone did to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, this guy did, I'm going to get back this guy. Just see, just wait. When I get my chance, oh, Matt, if I find him in an alley by himself, nobody else around, oh, boy. You know, just forget. Forget anything bad that anybody ever did to you.
Yes.
Then?
And all the good others have done to you?
No, no, there's two things you should forget.
Yes, ma'am.
Forget the good things you've done for others and the bad things they've done to you. Now there's two things you should remember.
That
you're going to die. Always remember you're going to die.
And
always remember Krishna.
Yeah.
Satatam Smaratam Vishnu. Satatam Smaratam Vishnu. Always remember Vishnu. So, two forgets, two remembers. Yeah, that's a problem. We remember our enemies and forget Krishna. I never forget my enemies, but I always forget Krishna. And he's my friend. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's a friend of all living entities. Hare Krishna.